It's time for Windows Weekly. The code has shipped. Windows 8 is RTM. Paul and Mary Jo will talk about that. More Windows rumors, the Windows 8 SDK, XNA, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 272, recorded August 2nd, 2012. Big Boy Outlook. Windows Weekly is brought to you by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system to go with their incredible hosting, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website or blog. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive designs with automatic device scaling. For a free trial and 10% off your new purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code Windows8. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. Time for Windows Weekly, and we have the great international version of Windows Weekly today, ladies and gentlemen. In the light trunks in the left corner, Paul Thurrott from Rouen, France, where the sun is about to set on a beautiful full moon evening. Thank you for being here, Paul.
Sure.
Paul edits the supersite for Windows and has warned us that he has a mere 200 kilobit upstream connection.
I know. And it's, be clear, it's kilobit.
Kilobit.
Not a term you might not have heard that term in a while.
That's about as small as you get.
It was the 20th century last time I had such a connection.
Isn't that funny? You said 1997. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because we had cable modem very early in Phoenix, and we never kind of looked back. So this is apparently some kind of weird ADSL hell that I'm in here.
But it's French, so it's okay.
Yeah.
There's also a white dot. I don't know if that's on the camera.
I know. I wonder if that's on the camera. I got it. Did I get it?
No, there's another one.
No. Oops.
Apparently that's not the camera. It's on you. I don't know. You know what? That's a dead pixel. That's a dead damn pixel. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's back. Maybe it's a Skype artifact. That is the strangest thing. It's gone.
That is weird.
It's bad.
That's strange. That's so weird. Oh, maybe it's a, is it like our light reflection?
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
I think it's from the light behind you.
Yeah. Angle to the, if you slide over a little bit to your right, it seems to go away.
The other way.
Yep. See?
Yep. Okay. Could you, do you remember turning those on?
This is this kind of stuff normally we'd be doing before the show, but God, I just love doing it on the air.
There she goes.
Look at that. Wow. Now, this is actually a beautiful shot. You're in a great apartment. Did you get that through Airbnb? How did you do that?
No, we go through Intervac. This is someone's home. It's a beautiful house. It is in the middle of nowhere, but it's beautiful. The town is beautiful. The whole place is, the place is modern and beautiful and nice. Only the connection.
And then you trade with another Intervac family for your place, and they're staying right now in Dedham, going, what the hell have we where are we?
They're marveling at the size of our soft drinks and at the speed of our internet.
Yes, they are marveling at that. Also here, and not from her home base, Mary Jo Foley of AllAboutMicrosoft.com. I'm guessing, looking at those cupboards behind you, that you're in St. Louis, Missouri. Am I right?
How did you know? Yes, I am.
What are you doing there?
I'm attending the St. Louis Days of .NET, which is happening in the next few days here at the Ameristar Casino in St. Louis.
Wow.
I would have been there. If I wasn't in France, I would have gone to that.
Will Wayne Newton be singing, .NET? Whoa, 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 whoa.
No.
I was just singing that song today to my daughter's chagrin,
actually. Oh, .NET.
Well, the original version.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We love you. And C-sharp, too. WinRT, it's a kernel, not a tablet. No, I'm sorry. I'm now losing the thread. So, you seem to go to a lot of fan fests and things like that, Mary Jo. This is kind of more of like a fan fest, right?
Yeah. Lots of good sessions. Windows 8, Windows Phone, Azure, Hadoop even.
Hadoop?
But let's just be honest for a moment here, shall we? The real reason you're in St. Louis has nothing to do with technology.
It's the beer.
It's because of barbecue and beer.
It also happens to be St. Louis Craft Beer Week, but that is absolutely
What an amazing
What a coincidence! Who'd have thunk it? Well, somebody brought...
Her schedule was suddenly wide open. It was.
Speaking of beer, and this isn't going to make a lot of sense because of where Paul is right now, but somebody brought me some La Fin du Monde. Extra strong ale from Quebec. And the reason this is kind of apropos is Paul, when he's at home, has a big Fin du Monde sign behind him.
Yeah, Unibrow is the company that makes that. That's
called Unibrow, really? You're kidding me.
Yeah. Well, Unibrew, like Unibrew, I think would be.
Not Unibrow.
It looks like Unibrow.
Unibrow means something else entirely. Unibroue, Unibrew.
Yeah.
And it says, do not drink this in a champagne flute.
No. So you can drink that in a big mug, like a man.
Yeah. Like a man. Well, this is big.
That's some good stuff. That's one of my favorite beers.
Good. When you come out here, we'll share it. Fin du Monde. And, you know, we should have a Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott beer show.
We talk about this. Maybe we could do a special one every, quarter or something.
That. Look at Steve Gibson does his anti-sugar rants. You could do a pro-beer show.
We could have beer pick of the week every year.
Mary Jo.
I'm listening.
I think you might have hit on something.
That'd be fun.
Let's do it.
You know, because so many people in the tech industry are home brewers. It's amazing, that overlap, you know?
Yeah.
How about that?
We've got a basement. I'm ready. Let's start. There's room for a vat. Let's start with Windows Weekly with... Where's my vuvuzela?
Oh, jeez.
A fanfare.
It's been a while. God, it's like a constipated elephant.
You know, I was so disappointed. You know, they just closed the door on the studio. Usually they do that to keep the sound out, but apparently they're doing it to keep the sound in. So I was so disappointed because I remember this, of course, at the World Cup, and I thought that every international sporting event would feature vuvuzelas, and there's not a vuvuzela in sight at the Olympics.
No, because the Olympics is a classy event.
Yeah.
You know?
So the fanfare, I can, you know... It's not a fanfare with one.
Oh,
is.
Boy. And we wonder why the mammoths are extinct.
You know? The fanfare is the release of Windows 8. Release the hounds!
Actually, I would call it the artificial release of Windows 8, which, let's face it, was done about a week ago.
Oh.
You know, actually, somebody wrote me an email. I wish I could remember his name. I apologize if he's listening. But somebody wrote me an email and said, just guessing, but do you think they waited until August 1st? Because August is the 8th month of the year.
Oh.
And I thought, you know what? I do think they did that.
Yeah, that's really the kind of thing. Now, do we have a number? Do we know what the build number is?
Yes. 9200.
you hit it at that last week. But
Well, but here's why. So, obviously, they wanted it to be 8888. Because the real build number of the final build was somewhere in the 80, I think it was 85, 50 something.
Right.
And they artificially bump it up, you know, every time. And they were shooting for 88, but then they found a bug and they had to fix it. And so, unfortunately, I guess the way this build system works is you have to increment. And
by 400?
I think they just bumped it up to something even after a little while. But,
right.
Yeah. So the build dates back to a week ago Wednesday. So it's 8 days old.
And wow, that's long enough to know if there's any issues. It sounds like this is a done deal here.
It's done. Yeah.
It's done.
This is it.
Yeah. It's cooked. That means now they said that general availability is different, but do we know general availability now based on that?
Yeah. We've already known that. General availability was announced for October 26th. So that's when it goes to retail and when it's going to be available on new PCs, including the Surface tablet PC.
The official sanctioned date for the release of Windows
just
RT.
For the RT version of the Surface tablet, right?
And they said at the announcement 3 months later for the Windows 8 Pro tablet.
That's a long time.
Are they sticking to that?
Yeah, I can't. Well, they haven't they haven't countermanded it, but it seems odd to me still, as it always has, that the Intel version of this, which you have to think a lot of people are going to want, won't ship until, is it really like January? End of January, beginning of February? It's a long time. It's kind of a dead time, we might say.
Well, is it just, it's going to take that long to make?
No, but they've
never explained
it. We don't
really know why there's this 3-month delay. Although I keep speculating that the reason is they're going to swap out the Intel chip that's in this and maybe go with Clover Trail instead.
Cloverdale. So now here's my question. Maybe is it protecting the OEM saying, well, you've got a 3-month head start?
Yes, that could be it.
Yeah.
There's also, and I don't quite understand this. Maybe Mary Jo knows more about this, but I've gone back and I've been watching their video presentations of the various milestones, over the past year or so. And they talk about this thing called system on a chip, right? And an ARM chip is apparently a system on a chip, but ARM is not the only system on a chip. Intel is working on system of a on a chip designs. But the only thing they've shown off that has been a system on a chip on the Intel side, if I'm not mistaken, has been an Atom-based design, which is like the really low-end processor, And even if the new Atom designs that are Ivy Bridge or newer, generation-wise, even if they're much more efficient and more powerful than the previous generation, there's a weird thing about Atom, I think, where the name is just dead, that people hear Atom and they shut down.
Yeah, because it was so crappy.
Yeah, they think netbook and they think, I don't want this.
Yet the irony is they're doing Core i5 chips that they're calling Celeron, which I would think would have an equally crappy reputation.
Exactly. Another horrible, horrible name from the past that nobody wants to be associated with.
I don't think they want people to think they're getting a real process. It's for low end.
I think it's changing, though, because part of the deal on system on a chip, SoC, part of the deal with these designs is that you get certain Windows 8/RT features that you don't get otherwise. And one of those is connected standby, which is basically a smartphone-style state where the machine is essentially off, but there's some minimal heartbeat occurring that allows it to connect to the services that are updating your email, your instant messages, and all that kind of stuff, so that when you open the lid, it comes on instantly, even though it was technically kind of off, and your stuff is all updated. You don't have to wait for each app to pull the server, right? It just happened. It happened in the background, and supposedly with some very minimal hit on battery life. So you get that. Modern laptops, but also smartphones and tablets have a certain battery life. When you don't use it, you probably know what it's called, but it sits there on the shelf and you don't use it, and it's, what's that called, like standby time or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. It
works like that. And so, unless I'm wrong, unless I'm missing something, it seems like only Atom on the Intel side is going to support that, at least right away. And I don't know. That kind of makes it seem less interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe what Microsoft is waiting on is a higher-end version of that kind of functionality where they can have that in – because you would want that in the Surface, of course.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just don't know.
But it would make sense that they might wait for a newer platform.
One of our listeners on Twitter is saying, or maybe it's a way for them to try to push Metro-style apps more. The first Surface that you come out with only runs Metro-style apps, and the second
It seems that's upside down, that you might want to wait on Windows RT until you have more apps.
It does seem
because what you're competing against, Android and iPad, have literally 300,000 to 500,000 apps available.
Right. And I think I had a guy I was asking this week how many Metro-style apps are in the Windows 8 store right now, and he believes there are 450.
Let's put it this way: few enough that you could actually count them.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
You could actually physically count them.
Just to clarify what she said, that was 450. Period.
No extra zero.
Yeah.
Not 450,000.
Although, and we've said this many times, if it's 450 of the right apps, Foursquare, Facebook, Twitter.
We shall see.
We shall see.
And this has been one of the, I have to say, I obviously have gone up and down on Windows 8 over the months. I mean, I've had a fairly crazy relationship with this thing, but I feel pretty good about most of it. One of the things I still have a lingering doubt about, and part of the reason is because of my experience with Windows Phone, which I love and has just not taken off in the marketplace, is that the perception or the reality around the lack of apps in Windows 8 and RT is a problem, and that it will sink this thing or, you know, at least cause it to have growing pains. And that is a lingering doubt, and I think it's something that needs, you know, I'd like to see how Microsoft addresses that, if they do, with whatever announcements they have around what apps are available, you know, at launch. So I guess we'll see.
Well, at least we have a date.
Yes, we got that going for us.
We actually have a lot of dates. They talk this week about, okay, when will you get the code if you're in different groups of people? Mm-hmm. So we know if you're an MSDN subscriber, you're going to actually get Windows 8 RTM bits on August 15th. They release that date. What other dates did they give? Paul, I don't know if you know the answer on this, but they said TechNet gets a trial version on August 15th, but not
the
whole thing.
Did they say that, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Which I thought was weird. Yeah, I'm not sure why.
So I received an email from a partner of Microsoft that may shed some light on what's happening here. I mean, there's kind of a weird thing occurring here where I think we can all agree that they've made the purchasing of Windows 8 cheaper and easier than ever before. But they're also limiting things in the sense from the people who would typically have gotten this for free as part of a subscription. So, for example, if you have a TechNet or MSDN subscription, I have a feeling that there are going to be far fewer licenses being thrown around than were the case in the past. And the OEM email that I received indicated that these people would get one key that was good for one product activation only on one PC, and that it would tie it to that PC, and that you could then use that key to install Windows 8 on another PC, because remember that with Windows 8, you have to insert a key during install, unlike Windows 7, where you could skip over that. So that will get you through setup, and you can actually install it. But then you won't be able to activate it. And so you could use that key multiple times just to get Windows 8 blown onto a computer very quickly, but you wouldn't be able to activate. That's very strict. So I think these things are all tied together, that there's a sense that, look, we're going to make it easy for you people to legally acquire this the right way at retail because you're using it on your actual computers. But if you were expecting to, say, you know, use a TechNet subscription to install this thing on all five of your computers at some really cheap price per year, like the typical TechNet subscription has been, we're not going to be doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's perfectly legitimate. I think that's okay for them to do, but I also think they really need to explain it if that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that makes sense, because if you are providing it for $40, I mean, that's pretty...
And no excuse. Cheap. No excuse not to buy it.
Right. Yeah, the other people who are going to get it sooner that we know about is if you're a volume licensee, so if you're a business customer who has software assurance, you get the bits on August 16th, so the day after MSDN.
Like a day later for some reason.
Right, a day later.
And then why don't they just give everybody everything right now?
I know. It's so staggered.
It's done. It's not going to be different.
I know.
Is it a download thing? Is it like there's so many millions of... No, there can't be that many of them.
No. And you're raising a great point, because so many people are saying, if it's just like push the button, put it on a server, why do we have to wait till August 15th?
I know. It's insane. It's...
Right.
I believe the post that Stanovsky had said.
What does Stanovsky say?
No, I mean, I thought he said something to the effect of, look, we know you all have a lot of questions. Moving on.
Microsoft is more and more becoming like the Grand Wizard of Oz, where it's like, we have our reasons. You just sit there and take it. Why? Doesn't that seem like what is so hard? What is so hard?
Leo, I would answer that question, but people who question the process are sidelined.
I will question the process. WTF. Paul, by the way, I'd like to emphasize to the fine people in Redmond and Wagner Edstrom and everybody that this is not Paul Thurrott. Wait a minute, let me take down your lower third. This is not Paul Thurrott speaking. This is me. This is not Paul. It's not Mary Jo. It's me. What the hell, guys? What kind of way is this to run a company? See, he couldn't be saying this because he's drinking while I'm talking.
I have to be slightly
I understand.
Sluice.
No, I understand. You can't be. And you know, I get a lot of heat all the time for being. Why are you so critical? What are you so cranky about? But it does puzzle me.
I'm sorry. We probably had this discussion. I refuse to believe that the more time you're on this planet, you don't become more cynical. How can you not be more cynical when you see what's going on in the world? I mean, is it not disturbing to all of us? I understand with Microsoft specifically that, you know, I'm sure they do have their reasons. I'm sure they do. They're smart people.
Well, no, if they do, share them. Please, just tell us.
Yeah.
This is the modern world where the idea of a monolithic company keeping to itself behind its tower is gone. You talk to your customers.
There's a happy middle ground, and we're not hitting that. But
by the way, I'm not saying that Apple's people are going to say, "Oh, you're an Apple fan." I'm not saying. I'm talking about this is a Windows. I'm talking Microsoft, but I'm not saying Apple's any better. They're
much worse.
Well, yeah, and I just what is this new thing that's going on?
There have to be 1,100 blogs by Microsoft employees where they communicate every single day about something. Have to be, right? The instances in which Microsoft actually releases a press release to announce anything are so few and far between that they're almost like miraculous little events. You know, they announce everything via blog post these days. It's very interesting. This is different.
It must have to do with some kind of fear that if – I don't know. I mean, it seems so apparent to me that in an internet era, you know, this clue train era, that customers and businesses ought to be in conversation, that businesses ought to treat their customers respectfully, communicate thoroughly and authentically.
Here's a thought. Mary Jo has a note in the show notes. It's talking about, you know, what happens next. Is it going to be Windows 9? Is it going to be something else, something sooner? You know, whatever it is. Looking at the way things are going today and the fear and the doubt and the uncertainty around Windows 8, you can make a case that one of the things Microsoft could do to kind of ease this transition is say, look, we have a plan. We're going to update Windows 8. Here's how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. This is a safe bet. Here's why. You know, it would be the simplest thing in the world, and it would solve so many problems, and it would ease the conscience of so many people, and they just won't do it. I can't say why. I don't know why. I don't know why they won't do it. They just won't do it. They have their reasons.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you my theory why. The reason they won't do it is they're trying to trickle out news and keep the news cycle going, right? So there is going to be a day, I know, when they're going to disclose that and say, here's what we're doing next, and now you can rest easy. But I bet they're saving that up, maybe for, like, general availability.
Build,
which is the week after general availability.
I think one of the most important things that these people could communicate about Windows 8 is that this is not a hard stop for 3 years.
Right.
That we get it. This thing's not ready. It's not done. We're going to update it. We have a plan. Here it is. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. You know? To claim otherwise, as good as Windows 8 is, and I really do think Windows 8 is good, it's also kind of crazy, right? It's like a mobile OS, and it's the Windows desktop, you know, all in one. It's like that old commercial where the guy got his chocolate and his peanut butter. You know, it is this weird thing that is two things, really. There's something odd about it. I get it, but you know, an explanation about their plan for the future, I think at this point in time, would be the right thing to do. Therefore, that will never happen.
You know. I agree. But yeah, to your point, I think they think we don't need to know. It's like less and less is being told to us because they're like, why do you need to know that? This is on a need to know basis. Like, but you know, basic things like why I don't agree.
I don't agree because
things like why is TechNet only getting a trial subscription?
That I did not know.
Impacts a lot of people. But what, you know, a little blog post that discloses the reasoning behind that, and then you're like, oh, okay, now I understand, and that makes sense to me.
And what happens if you don't communicate it is there is now. Well, I'm going to say two things. Yeah. First is there's this presumption that you don't have that you don't know. That there isn't any reasoning behind this, and it's just, you know, like crazy. It makes journalists crazy. Now, here's the question. Does it make real people crazy? Probably not.
No, it does.
Okay.
Or does it? That's good.
We hear from them. We hear from, like on Twitter. Here's a guy today who keeps asking me, when is DreamSpark going to get Windows 8? You know, DreamSpark is one of their programs to get startups involved with Windows technology. Yep. And when I ask Microsoft, no comment. Why is there no comment on that?
They have no idea.
That's just weird. Unless they're not going to get it, right? And then if it is that then they should say, you're not going to get it, but you can buy it for $40 when everybody else can.
It is $40. But which begs the question, why can't I buy it for $40 right now? Right? What I mean, are we protecting the partners? We're hoping that by making people wait to buy the code that they'll just buy a new computer, because $40 and $1,000 are roughly the same thing. I mean, what is the thought there, you know?
Yeah.
There's no way to know. All we can do is guess.
No. Another one we don't know that I am getting a ton of questions on, and I bet Paul is as well, is people are saying, so did Windows RT RTM this week too?
Yes.
No comment.
Yep.
No comment.
Yep.
Why no comment? Like, that's good news. Sure. If it did RTM this week, which I would think it did, why not say that, Microsoft? That would put people's minds at ease.
I was actually blown away that they allowed the server team to announce a Windows Server had RTM, you know, on the same day. I figured they'd make them wait a day.
Right.
You know, which they had done in the past, right?
Right.
For different milestones. Even though those things occur at exactly the same time and the same day.
Right. Yeah, but we should mention that too. So what else RTM? What else did RTM besides Windows 8 this week?
Mm-hmm.
Windows Server 2012 RTM'd. Visual Studio 2012 RTM'd. Internet Explorer 10 on Windows 8 RTM'd. But another one we don't know. Did Internet Explorer 10 on Windows 7 RTM today? Yesterday, rather? Mm-hmm.
What about Windows Server Essentials 2012 or Windows Server Foundation 2012?
Right.
Those two, like, sort of Server 2012 versions, you know? Did those RTM today? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But we don't know.
Right.
Well, I'm putting my
Vuvuzela
away. In that case, I don't know. I don't think we have any fanfares here.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to stop.
The Vuvuzela.
Apparently, somebody said, and I don't know if this is true, they were banned at the Olympics.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It does.
There will be no Vuvuzela-ing here. None. All right. Oh, there goes Paul.
I think we
used up his monthly allocation.
Because
you know what? Yeah, 200 kilobits, he was doing great. Hey, can somebody recall Paul? The engineers have wandered off. I should have warned them. Paul's in France. We never know what will happen.
We should have had Dr. Pizza ready as a backup plan.
No, no, I have confidence. I trust the French telecom.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, here he comes, Paul Thurrott. We're going to recall Paul.
I knew this was good. Sorry.
It's total
Welcome
recall.
Welcome to France.
Now go home.
Yep.
The sun is going down, I think. But it's a beautiful, such a beautiful shot. I just think it's fun to be in France with Paul Thurrott.
It has been, you know, this part of the country is the part where it rains all the time, apparently. So they have a famous poster and sticker you can put in your car, and they have magnets for your refrigerator. It says in French, "Dare to Dream," and it's a picture. It's a map of France where the sun, like the weather, is only on Normandy, and the rest of the country is raining. And of course, because usually it's the other way around, apparently. Although
That's
actually,
so funny.
It rains everywhere in France, but for whatever it's worth, it's been sunny every single day we've been here, every day.
Oh, you've had a great trip.
Yeah, no, it's been beautiful.
It's awesome. Windows 8 Store is open, as you mentioned, the 450, count them, Metro apps.
Well, more soon, hopefully. The 475 easily, I would say.
Sure.
By lunch.
Mike, now, how does, as you probably are aware, Apple has some severe restrictions on what's possible for apps that want to live in the App Store. But it sounds like Microsoft's a little bit more forgiving. Is that the case? What's the deal there? It has to be Metro.
I would say they're a lot more forgiving.
You can do demos. You can do paid upgrades.
Yeah, trial versions, in-app purchases.
You can, so, that you know, and how about now, one of the things Apple, I think, is doing right is they're requiring code signing, and they're also requiring sandboxing. That you have to say, there's something called entitlements. You have to say, as an app developer, I'm going to be doing this, this, and this, and that will be, you can't do anything but that. You're sandboxed, and the end user gets to see what permissions you have and can decide whether
this is
or not to
automatic
use
in Metro. It's exactly
it is good. I think that's really the right thing to do.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure developers. You know, how could it be bad? I mean, it's if even for them, this forces them to be.
No, it's good. I mean, obviously, Windows 8 Metro is kind of a question mark about how big the audience is going to be. But they've done it the right way, and they've built on all of the stuff that they've done and what their competitors have done in the past, and they've looked at some of the stuff that I think a lot of people would say Apple maybe isn't doing necessarily right, and that and some of the stuff that Google's not doing right. Google's a little too open, too Wild West, right?
Right.
So they are curating, and
they are curating. So every app is approved by Microsoft and is checked out and vetted for safety and all that stuff.
And it's unlike a lot of the stuff we've been complaining about with Microsoft, I would say that the Windows Store process, the process of making an app, getting it on the store and all that is extremely transparent. I think this is one of those things that they did. It looks like they've just done it right. I've not submitted an app, so I'm not speaking from a position of authority here, but based on what, the way they've described it and the way it looks, it looks like they've done it. They've done it right.
What is the developer reaction to the Metro Store? Because there's a very in the Mac world, there's a very mixed reaction to the App Store. There are some developers who have say, "I'm washing my hands of it. I'm not gonna be there."
On the Mac side, you mean?
On the Mac side. So, are they seeing? Are they embraced by developers? What is the developer reaction?
I think developers are pretty upbeat about the terms of the store from the ones I've talked to. The questions for developers that I keep getting are, I'm still not exactly sure how to build a Metro style app. There's guidance out there, there's videos, but I need more help. And that's one of the reasons.
Okay. So now it's
availability. They're going to have more on that.
I thought we were going to lose Mary Jo.
No.
There was just,
I was
just
reasonably sure that was me. That was me freezing. But I guess it was. Here we go again.
People often ask us, Leo.
Bring more wine.
You're trying to do a professional broadcast operation. Why do you use Skype? And I say, because it's free and I'm cheap.
Because it's Microsoft. What could go wrong?
I have to say now, because it's Microsoft, I could say, well, actually, it's Windows Weekly.
This is a complete non sequitur, but since we're talking about Skype, does this strike anyone else as a little odd that Skype, despite being part of Microsoft, is never treated as part of Microsoft? That, some executive leaves another company and comes to Skype, or the guy from Skype has a quote about something. It's like they're not really treated as part of Microsoft, right? How is it they get this special kind of treatment? Even though they were, Yammer was purchased by Microsoft. We're never going to hear from Yammer again. Yammer's gone. But Microsoft purchases Skype, and Skype is still this kind of singular, independent entity for some reason. Why did they get that? Why did they get that pass?
I think they do it intentionally because they know a big part of the reason they bought Skype was to get the coolness of the brand, right? And you never see Microsoft say Microsoft Skype.
Right.
Like in press releases, anywhere, you never see that. It's always just Skype. And in fact, when I did Microsoft Skype in a headline, someone said to me, "Oh, that's so weird, but I guess that's technically correct. They are part of Microsoft." But Microsoft doesn't want that connotation, which is funny because, it's their brand.
But as somebody in the chat room just pointed out, Outlook.com integrates Skype, does it not?
It will. So, not yet, but it will.
So that's interesting.
No, they're definitely integrating it. It's going to be integrated into Outlook 2013, part of Office 2013.
It will preserve its brand, as it should, because as I think you're exactly right, Mary Jo, they bought it for the brand.
Yeah.
So don't undermine that. Don't make it Skype, Microsoft Skype.
No. It's not like Microsoft is the death knell for.
No. I don't mean that. That comes off wrong. But I wouldn't say make it Apple Skype either if it were Apple's company. It should be Skype. Skype is a very good brand. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I think it makes people nervous to think a big company, even though Skype is a big company, but a big company is now in charge.
Yeah. Well, at least the Huffington Post is still independent. We got that going for us. And then,
the AOL Huffington Post. You notice they don't say that.
I mean, it's just the same thing. Really.
I don't mention that we're owned by NBC. I'm sorry. Did I say that?
We're the smallest freaking province in the Viacom Empire.
NBC Twit. Cabletown owns us. No, that was just a dream I had one.
Right. Yep. Cabletown.
This entire, from now on, everything we do will be tape delayed 8 hours, just so you know.
Right. What did they talk about in the podcast? I can't say.
It will be awesome. No tweeting. Oh, right. Man. And of course, you know, I'm on Twitter and I know already the results of one of the most important events tonight that we won't see on NBC till later tonight. I already know who won the gold. And it's in fact,
was it about the one guy from France who won a medal and that's all?
No, it was an American. And then somebody wrote a very funny. Oh, it was in the New Yorker .com. Oh, I almost want to read this to you. It was so, maybe I will. I will read it to you in a minute. We're going to take a break and continue on with our show. Mary Jo Foley in St. Louis for the beer. I mean for the Microsoft .net. A party, and
by the way, just pointing out, St. Louis is arguably more of a French name than Rouen.
Saint Louis. Well, Rouen, what is that? Is that not French?
It's got to be some kind of weird what do you call it? Not Nordic, but
Norman. Like, are you British. Saying it's Anglo-Saxon?
I bet it is.
It's like the Brits. Hey, it's Rouen. We see this town. We ruined it. Let's call it ruin.
Actually, I believe the Allies ruined it. But yeah, no anyway. Kidding.
Isn't that sad? Yeah. Isn't that sad? We're going to talk briefly about our great friends at Squarespace.com, then on and on with Windows and Microsoft and Xbox and all sorts of stuff with Paul Thurrott of the Supersite for Windows, WinSupersite.com, Mary Jo Foley of AllAboutMicrosoft.com. Paul's book, Windows 8 Secrets, will be the must-have book for you new Windows folks. Does that mean October 26th for Windows 8 Secrets?
It's going to be before that.
Even before then? Because you'll need it before then. You'll want
I have
it.
The final page proofs now.
Yes! Yes! That's exciting. There's no, you know, for anybody who's ever written a book, the writing of the book is so hideously, awfully painful that the only celebration, the only happiness at all is having written the book. Getting those proofs and saying it is
You know
done.
What I'm starting to think about, though, is what the next book's
going to be. Oh, Paul! Paul! He's got a problem. He's definitely got a problem. No, he's not kidding. I know. Hey, I know what it is, too. It's Windows Phone 8. It's Apollo.
I told Mary Jo that I said, this is not your responsibility, but it is your responsibility to make sure that I never read it.
Now, you know why he's saying that to you, Mary Jo? Because he told me that last time and I didn't succeed.
Yeah.
Okay. I did succeed.
I turned to greener pastures.
You got to tie him to the mast. Strap him down. Thou shalt not write a book. I practically wrote a book last night and the night before on Reddit. You know, I did an I Am Leo Laporte, Chief Twit, Ask Me Anything. It was so much fun doing an Ask Me Anything.
And I read that. That was really good.
Oh,
that was
so much awesome. Fun. And I thank you all the Redditors who, you know, were so nice and kind. And it was really great. But I have to tell you, Dick DiBartolo is doing his Ask Me Anything today.
So you're saying that this is nothing like Twitter, that people are polite and nice. And that they're not.
Well, it's fun because first of all, you got more than 140 characters. Second of all, it's threaded, so there's comments. I mean, and it lasts. I mean, I can go back. I went back last night, answered more questions. I'll probably go back tonight and answer them. You're right. Nothing like Twitter in every respect.
Nothing like Twitter. Nothing like Twitter. That sounds good.
Dick DiBartolo does his Ask Me Anything 1 p.m. Pacific, 1 hour from now, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So go to Reddit, Reddit.com/r/IAMA. And if you've wondered what it's like to be Mad Magazine's maddest writer, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Mad Magazine questions, but also he wrote The Match Game. So our Mad's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo, and our Gizwiz will be doing his Ask Me Anything later today. Very, very cool. Meanwhile, let's talk a little bit about Squarespace.com. I'm telling you, these guys, the new Squarespace is here. The new Squarespace version 6, it's been years in the making, and because they really wanted to get it right, they entirely rewrote the code base, written from scratch, 50 new and improved features. You can go to squarespace.com and watch the movie and find out more about what the new Squarespace offers. It is incredible. First of all, great templates. But these, by the way, are now this is the hot new thing in web page design. This is responsive websites. What that means is The same site looks great on all platforms. When you upload a picture, for instance, they resize it into 7 different files. So it looks great on a 27-inch display, on an iPad, an iPhone, a Windows phone. That's called responsive design. It's not a mobile site. It's a site that just looks great everywhere. I want you to try Squarespace free. If you visit squarespace.com, you can click the try it free button. Actually, they call it something else now. But just it doesn't take a credit card, just your name, your email address, a password, a name for your site. And you can import all your content from your existing website, you can, including all the images, the comments, everything, and try it for 2 weeks absolutely free. Link into all of your social networks like Twitter, Flickr, LinkedIn. You could put Google Maps in there. I mean, it really is so slick. The layout engine means it's so simple to make your own design. But if you know CSS, the sky's the limit. I just am a big fan. As Squarespace always has been a wonderful hosting company and the best content management software, and it's gotten even better. Go to squarespace.com right now. Actually, it's called the button is called Get Started. Click the Get Started button. And you can, and it's nice now because they don't even bother asking for information. They just show you the templates, all the different looks you can have. I mean, oh my goodness.
And Leo, make it stop.
I know, it's driving you crazy, probably. Poor Paul has to suffer along. But now, once you start with this, you can customize it. Look at this, Amelie. But that's just the base. You can now completely customize it. Do everything you want. I want you to try it free for 2 weeks. You don't need an offer code or a credit card. But if you do decide to buy, let me go back to Squarespace and show you their pricing because it's kind of amazing. They revamped their pricing recently to make it very, very simple. $8 a month. These are the yearly plans. You can go month to month. It's a little more expensive. But $8 a month for the basic plan. 2 gigabyte storage, 500 gigabytes bandwidth. You get 20 pages, galleries, and blogs. That's for an inexpensive kind of one shot. But if you're really going to get this site going and really throw your weight behind it, get the unlimited plan, $16 a month. Now, this is hosting and the software, everything. And you get unlimited pages, galleries, blogs, unlimited bandwidth. This is for a company, you could do this. Unlimited storage and unlimited contributors. It allows you to do, you could do the Huffington Post for $16 a month. And when you buy an annual plan, they automatically will give you free domain registration so you can have, your own special domain name. And they'll hook it up and everything so it all works. All you have to do when you do this is go to squarespace.com and use the offer code Windows8. And they will give you 10% off that first purchase. So that $16 a month, it's even better. You get $1.60 off a month. This is a remarkable deal. I want you to try it. The best hosting, the best software, squarespace.com. Try it today. Let me see if I can find this letter to NBC from the New Yorker. It's one of their humor writers. Oh yeah, the Borowitz report. It's actually a letter.
It's fertile ground.
It is fertile ground for humor, is it not?
Yeah.
This is fake news and political satire. Let me see if I can find the... I think it's a letter from NBC, actually. A message from NBC about its Olympic coverage. It's just a little intermezzo before we go back to the... A message from NBC about its Olympic coverage. Dear NBC viewers, last night millions of you were thrilled to see the USA's Missy Franklin win the gold medal in the 100-meter backstroke. That is... You would have been thrilled, except that just before the race, we showed promos of Missy Franklin appearing on the Today Show with the gold medal she won for the 100-meter backstroke. So, if you've been watching NBC in primetime in the past few nights, you've probably noticed how, night in, night out, we've been wrecking the Olympics for you. All we can say is, our bad. At NBC, we're just not used to broadcasting things people want to watch. But all that's about to change. I know, I love this. Tonight, for those of you who watching the Olympics without having every moment drained of its entertainment value, we're launching a new premium service called NBC Free, the Olympics, without any contributions from NBC whatsoever. For only $29.95, you can watch the Olympics. You know what? People would buy this. For only $29.95, you can watch the Olympics with no spoilers, no maudlin personal narratives, and no promos for NBC's new fall shows like that egregious one with the doctor and the monkey we show like every 5 minutes. And for $39.95, no Ryan Seacrest.
Is Ryan Seacrest part of the Olympics broadcast?
Oh, my God. You're not seeing this. I forgot, Paul. You're in France where you could probably watch this.
Listen, the only thing I see is the one guy from France who won a medal.
Over and over and over and over.
I swear to God, this guy is like a national hero now.
Well, he's a great swimmer. He was amazing. Agnel, right? Agnel or Angel?
It never gets old.
Oh, yeah, over and over. Well, it's just kind of what NBC has done is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And I tell you what, I would pay 30 bucks to not have a feed.
It's the internet. You know, and by the way, we all have DVRs. If I wanted to watch it tonight, I would.
Right.
You know, just.
Yeah, I could.
God.
Exactly.
Oh, this is not hard. Just a thought.
So, and it's impossible if you'd literally have to log out of the internet if you didn't want spoilers, because it's all over Twitter. It's all over everything. You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I do have to admit, I was upset at first, especially because of the opening ceremonies, which were taped, delayed, and edited.
Right.
edited for content. But I've been
edited
watching.
For content.
Yeah, they took out something they thought American viewers wouldn't watch, which was a tribute to the folks who died in the July 7th bombing in Great Britain. They thought, oh, well, Americans don't know what that is, so we'll just cut that, you know. That's a little maudlin. We'll just, you know what they put in? You know what they put in? They put in Ryan Seacrest interviewing Michael Phelps.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of just tone deaf, I think is the word I would use. But I have to say, after watching Olympics in primetime for like five straight nights, I've had enough. Oh. I'm moving on.
Oh, actually, knowing that Ryan Seacrest is part of this, I'm kind of glad I'm in France.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for only 10 bucks more, we'll take Ryan Seacrest.
I can't understand a freaking word they're saying, but I'm pretty sure the guy on TV here was a swimmer or a runner or something. He was clearly an athlete.
He's a swimmer. Agnel.
Yeah.
Gold medal for France. And he swam beautifully. Beautifully.
Okay.
For a Frenchman. All right, let's move. No. Remember, my name is Léo Laporte. I am a Frenchman. Moving right along. I've got to go back to Windows 8. I lost my notes. Windows 8 has gone to sleep on me. Going back to OneNote MX, which I am liking quite a bit, by the way. It really is a nice way to share your notes. Oh, we start talking about Outlook.com. Let's talk a little bit more. I signed up immediately because I wanted my name, Leo Laporte at Outlook.com, and I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to let you comment, because we talked on Twig yesterday about the Microsoft video, the promo for Outlook.com, which they took Gmail.
Oh, I've not. Okay.
You haven't seen it? They took Gmail. They crossed out all the parts that they didn't want to have anymore. That, oh, you don't need this anymore. You don't need this anymore. And they said, now the new Outlook.com. And it looks exactly the same.
The same as?
It's the
same as.
Am I wrong, Mary Jo? It looks the same.
The same as Gmail or the same as Hotmail?
As Gmail. It's no different, except the one thing, Gmail has that bar on the right where they put things like your chat and stuff like that. Instead, Microsoft's replaced that with some ads. How do you like Outlook.com? Maybe it's just me.
I can't compare it to Gmail because I am not a Gmail user.
Okay, fair enough.
I can't.
But I like it as much, if not more, than I like Hotmail. And you know, I think it's funny because people who are using Hotmail today, like the most current Hotmail users, they already have seen a lot of these features that people who have not used Hotmail in a long time are finding so wowing and surprising. Like sweep and eliminating graymail and all these features. These are already in Hotmail.
I like it that Office 365 kind of appears in here so I could see your documents actually in here and stuff like that and photos.
This is a beautiful form of tech ignorance, you know, that I think for years and years there were a lot of people who ignored Hotmail because of the name, that they felt it had the technical cachet of AOL, you know, that there was just something wrong with that name. They didn't like it. You know, Microsoft tried to overcome that by providing live.com email addresses. Of course, you can do custom domains for free, just like you can on Gmail. Nobody knows this, whatever. But over the past several years, Microsoft has added a tremendous amount of functionality to Hotmail. It is a fantastic webmail client. I switched from Gmail this year. It's fantastic. You know, people just can't get over that hump. You know, it reminds me of, I don't want to call it anybody in particular here, but I mean, I have a wife of a friend who's been a Mac user for a long time, and she has no problem opining on and on about how bad Windows is. She hasn't used Windows in 7 years. She has no idea what she's talking about. She's a wonderful person. I love her, but I have to keep, you know, correcting her. Like, so how long ago was it you used Windows? I'm just curious, because you have a very strong opinion about this thing, but you never actually use it. And Hotmail is like that. People, for whatever reason, it was like a lightning rod that Hotmail was lame, you know? And I can tell you, I mean, I've been using Hotmail every day for the past several months now, and Hotmail is, in fact, fantastic. And what we see now is an Outlook.com client that has a kind of a Metro-style UI, very clean, very nice, very fresh, modern, however you want to describe it. But it's basically Hotmail Plus. I mean, actually, there's something called Hotmail Plus. So it's sort of like Hotmail Plus Plus, I guess, if you will. Like, it's everything that was great about Hotmail, new UI, and then actually some new capabilities as well. And I actually think that this is a fantastic first-class webmail client, absolutely on par, if not better than Gmail. And that for people who are coming to or facing the world from a Windows perspective, because you use Windows PCs, it integrates with all the things that you care about, you know, Office, the Office web apps, SkyDrive, all that stuff. And to me, it's just a no-brainer. I actually think Outlook.com is fantastic. Even the name is great.
You know what it reminds me of, though? Microsoft is going to hate that I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Remember when they did the Mojave experiment?
Oh, yeah.
Brought a bunch of people in a room, and they showed them Windows Vista, but they didn't tell them it was Windows Vista. And they were like, wow, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. They could have done the Mojave experiment
way
with
better than Vista.
Hotmail.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
this
is Hotmail.
Yep.
But with
nobody even
yes,
knows.
With a lot of new features. But
well, you know what, though? I think what puts it over the top, though, is the UI. Because it's got – obviously, they could have just called it Hotmail. I mean – but, you know, I've had this problem with the Metro-style mail app that's in Windows 8 because it's so touch-centric. You know, if you select an email or some range of emails and you want to do something with it, like move it to another folder, it's this ponderous kind of affair. You have to put the app bar up, move to, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's no drag and drop. So this web client that they have for Outlook.com has, of course it has web, you know, drag and drop. So it works, it looks a lot like the mail app, but it works like a desktop app, you know? It really is a kind of a fantastic thing. And I've been using the Hotmail web application, if you will, the web page, for months and months and months. And now using this, it's like, oh, God, it's beautiful. I love this thing. I mean, it's just so clean and nice and well done. You know, it really is nice. And it has a different name.
And it's free. But it is, it is Hotmail, though. If I log into Hotmail now, will I get this?
No.
No.
Unless you choose.
You have to choose. Okay, got it.
Yeah, they're kind of moving over to it in a staged way, right? So if you choose to, you can get the new Outlook.com mail and people experience. That's their new, you know, contact management solution. Over time, they're going
to
add SkyDrive.
Do I have to?
What I was told, I don't have it now anymore. But you know, if are you looking at Hotmail?
Well, I'm looking at Outlook. Should I go to? Let me go to my Hotmail.
Well, you already have it. So if you go to your Hotmail account, so I believe what you can do is go to Options, and then you'll see a choice.
Okay.
Something I don't remember the name of it, but there's some option, and in the Options menu, there's a way to choose the new version.
Great.
All right.
And then if you don't like it and you chose it, there's an option to go back to Hotmail.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Switch back to Hotmail.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I can switch back if I don't want
to
be.
Which a guy today on email said to me, I can't believe you made me switch to Outlook, and I loved Hotmail. Now I hate Outlook, and you're really a horrible tech journalist. I'm like,
I made you do that? She said, I made you do that, that's really.
Awesome.
I didn't know it was that powerful.
I made you do that. So there's quite a bit of the settings are worth going through, too, huh?
Absolutely. But again, you know, if you're familiar with Hotmail, and I'm getting the vibe that not a lot of people are, this stuff was
somebody
all there,
in the chat room said, I didn't know Hotmail was a Microsoft product.
Yikes.
Wow.
Well, so by the way, I talked to these guys. It's funny because the people that make this are what used to be MSN, what used to be Windows Live, and now they're in some kind of weird nether region where they don't really have a name. I mean, they're part of the Windows organization, but they're going to have to give these online guys a name, right? So they make... Right. So they make Hotmail and SkyDrive. They make Messenger. And they make the kind of legacy applications that we think of as Windows Live essentials today, Microsoft Photo Gallery, and some of the other apps that will be coming down, you know, that may or may not be updated in the future. I'm not really sure. They're not a they're their own kind of group. They're what used to be Windows Live essentially, but they don't really have a like a name yet. Like they don't know what they're going to call themselves, and it's kind of an interesting period for them. But I've always loved these guys. I've always loved the way they did things. I was always very nervous when they got pulled into Windows that they would get screwed over by the hierarchy and the hugeness of Windows, which they kind of did. And it's neat to see them kind of flexing their muscles a little bit here again, because this is the type of stuff that these guys do very well. And you know, and they were very blunt about this. The conversation I had with those folks, they said that, you know, look, we made all these improvements to Hotmail, we get it, but we're not really winning. You know, even though Hotmail today is still bigger than Gmail, it's still bigger than Yahoo Mail, they're not really setting the world on fire. And they're certainly not attracting tech enthusiasts, early adopters, you know, those kind of things. And those people, again, who with complete ignorance have no idea what's been going on the Hotmail side of the fence and yet feel very strongly about it for some reason. And I think this is their attempt to overcome this, and the Outlook name is very much like Surface, where it's a brand they already had. It's not something I would never have come up with this personally, but then I hear it and I think, you know what? Yeah, that actually, okay, sure. Microsoft email, people think Outlook, you know.
Yeah, I like the Outlook.com name. At first I was like, oh, is that going to be confusing? But I don't think it is that confusing to people. They know, mm-hmm. They just think Outlook, oh, email. The only point of confusion that a few people have had is when they've got both an Office 365 account and then they're signing up for Outlook.com. Yes. Some people are having problems if they haven't totally cleared out the cookies in their browser of when they sign into the wrong one, because sometimes you use Outlook.com from Office 365.
Yeah. You're abusing the emoticons, by the way. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Having too much fun.
If you like it so much, enjoy this email.
So somebody was saying they didn't like the email composition interface, but the text is big. Now this is of course on Windows 8, and I think like all of Windows 8, this kind of focused on a tablet kind of interface. So it had full screen and everything. It's big.
So, by the way, and again, this is just exactly like Hotmail, actually.
Right.
Full keyboard shortcut support. You could hit Control Enter to send this email. Uh-huh. You can use Gmail keyboard shortcuts if you want. Yahoo keyboard shortcuts. If you want. Yeah, it's got all this stuff built in. It's actually very, very nicely done. And this interface, unlike the one in the Windows 8 Mail app, I think works very well with a keyboard and a mouse. It's just a nice. I really prefer this one. This is actually my favorite email client. I love this thing.
So this is how you do all your mail now.
Well, I can't. Unfortunately, because of the way my work works, I can't funnel my work email through any other email client.
Right. So you have
So I have a split. You know, two tabs. I've got one for Hotmail, which aggregates everything but my work account, and then I have my work account, which is. You know, Exchange 2010. It's like Outlook web.
Is the desktop live mail gone? I mean, is that really just?
That is an open question. I don't. Do you know the answer to that one? I mean,
I'm talking Windows 8, of course.
No, I know. So the desktop application, what used to be Windows Live Mail.
Yeah.
I don't know personally. I mean, I know that the ones they're bringing forward are going to lose the whole Windows Live brand. So. I know that Photo Gallery is one of those apps. I know that Movie Maker is one of those apps. And that those applications will be called Microsoft whatever. So it will be Microsoft Photo Gallery, Microsoft, Windows, or I'm sorry, no, not Windows, Microsoft Movie Maker. But I'm not sure if Mail is coming or not. It may just simply be...
Well, there's the Mail app. Right?
There still is a Mail. Metro Mail app.
Right.
In other words, the Windows Live Essentials, Windows Live Mail application.
Yeah, but just the thing that's I thought this was a little bit confusing, but maybe just confusing to me. There's the Mail app in Windows 8. One of the providers you can choose for that app is Outlook.com.
And then you'll get out basically this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are the filters? How do I create new filters? Because that's
so it depends on what you're there are rules and then there are filters.
Oh, okay.
Right. So rules are what determines where mail goes when it comes in.
Right.
And then the filters for Hotmail or for Outlook.com are for anti spam and that kind of thing.
Right.
You would, let's see, go back. Actually, I'm unclear why you can't see other options, but if you just select the message, well, there should be more messages in the toolbar. There are more items. Yeah, so go up to .. I guess. Or no, I'm sorry.
Oh, here it is. There, I got a menu now. Junk, sweep. I finally can see the sweep thing. That's good. Yeah. I like that sweep thing. And then here's manage rules. This would be for sweeping.
And so this is for performing actions on email when it arrives.
Right.
And you can do that. Is that
filters or is that?
Well, I think rules are what filters are in Gmail. I'd have to go look that up to be sure.
But Gmail confused me because they. I actually don't understand the difference between rules and filters.
Gmail has something called labels. The
look at this. Under junk mail, there is now an entry called "My friend has been hacked."
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's been in Hotmail for a while.
It says, "We'll look into your friend's account to make sure they're safe. Way to be a good friend." That's really that means that's happening so often. There's actually a menu item for it.
So, but if you look on the left there, in the bottom left, there's something called Quick Views, right? So, Quick Views are like the label views.
I love that. Gmail. These are great.
So you can click on like shipping update,
right?
Which is kind of a cool one.
Right.
If you have any shipping updates.
So if there were any UPS notices or whatever.
Yeah, so I see stuff in there from UPS.
So I'm going to create a new category, VIP, for stuff from my mom, let's say. But how do I then change what's in there?
Yeah, so you need to manage the category.
Categories.
I'm confused why that whole menu is
so
gone.
I can apply a filter to that one.
Yep. What you want to do is, the easiest way to do this is to find an email from your mother and say, and then apply that category to it.
It's always better to do it from example.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Well, unfortunately, mom has never sent me any emails, so. but if I ever get one from her.
Okay, then you could do it.
Let's say I'm going to create a new folder that says, if you ever get anything from Brussels Sproutlook. So I go to for this sender. Schedule cleanup.
So what I would do is select it, and then I would go to category.
Now, new category. So this is the Brussels Sprout Look category. So Brussels mail. Now that's a new category. Is that automatically going to make
This isn't going to move messages, but it's going to let you view them in that filter. In other words, when you create a category, it's not going to mail. It's not going to move messages around. You need to create a rule to do that.
Right.
There's actually two different things if you think about it.
Okay,
the quick views
I'm just dumb.
The closest that Gmail, that Hotmail or Outlook has to the sort of, if you think about Gmail works, the way that Gmail works, it's like a database. There's only really one folder, right?
Right.
Which is like the table in a database.
Right.
And that the sort of things we think of as folders are actually database views. And that's what those quick views are. They're literally views. They don't move email around. They just filter the view to show only the mails that match that category, essentially.
This is kind of sad that Raphael has sent me an email saying I'm on TV. is he really lonely? Raphael, really? You don't have to. I'm going to create a new category. Raphael's email.
Raphmail.
Now, if I do that new category, will this automatically be in that category? And apply. And now, if I go, there to Raphmail, yes, okay, good. So that was nice, but it was basically created by example.
Just a view, but if you want to work within the folder system, if you want to make your own folders and so forth for some reason, some people like to do that.
Right.
You can create rules that will automatically route email.
So I could say anything from mom goes into the mom folder or the VIP folder.
And maybe you have
quick views are more like the library folder on Windows 7. Is that
right? Yeah, they're virtual. They're virtual views. They're not actual folders, and they're like labels in Gmail.
And if somebody sends me a photo, it automatically goes into the photo. Mail.
Yeah, some of them are automatic. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I want to say documents, photos, shipping updates, and maybe one other automatically get pushed into.
They're grayed out, I think. Or no, they're not grayed out. Oh, that's because they have nothing in them. That's why. Got it.
Or they don't know. It's because they don't
nothing
have any
new.
Unread
nothing
emails.
New. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. Probably won't use
it,
but I like
it's
it.
It's clean.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, I mean...
I I will use it every day.
It's a lot cleaner and simpler than Gmail. I take it back. You know, I was looking at the video saying, look, it just looks... But you know what it is? It's much cleaner. It's much simpler than Gmail. But you know, that's really kind of the way it is now. That Google and Android and Gmail, they're all about people who want lots of buttons and stuff. And Microsoft's moving more to the simple side.
It's clean. A weird thing. We talked about this. You know, you can look at this in Apple products. You can look at it in the Gmail stuff or the Google stuff, rather, where obviously you start off with this initiative where you're going to be super simple. But you have to add features, and eventually it's going to get really difficult. And I think the example used in the past was the iPod, you know,
right.
That if you had started with the original iPod, it was a super simple UI. Most people could pick it up very quickly. But if you were to pick up an iPod Classic, you know, 7 years later, if you had never used an iPod before, you'd have no idea what was going on there. But by virtue of using it over the years, it was easy to make the transition from one to two to three, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I think that any email client, any software product is going to evolve in that fashion where, you know, you start off with a, you know, a clean slate and it's nice and it's simple and it's good, but you also are missing some stuff. And every once in a while, you know, you have to kind of just start over from scratch. And I think this was Microsoft's attempt to do that with WebMail, and, you know, we'll see how it takes off the market. But I love it. I mean, I love it because, you know, I've been using Hotmail, and I look at this and I think, yep, this is it. This is great. Yeah, this is really nice.
Hey, Paul, just do me a favor. Would you sing, I'm just a poor boy from a poor... Ich bin locked, no. Doesn't he look right like he's straight out of that Queen video?
Or Meet the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know.
It's Bohemian Rhapsody, Paul.
Right. I'll look up.
Big Ginge in our chat room is asking, can you assign Yahoo or some other mail account to your Outlook.com? Or is it, it's just Hotmail?
So I haven't done this yet with an Outlook.com account, but moving over my Hotmail account, I was already using, you know, the way it works in Hotmail, it's not as clean as it is in Gmail, where because you can, it supports different SMTP servers, you can send a mail as if you were another account. So from Gmail, you could do something like send a Hotmail from Hotmail.
Yeah, you know, Gmail calls us aliases. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do. Yeah, I think you can do this, can't you? And Outlook.com, they have aliases too, right?
They do. But the problem, yeah. I haven't tested this with Outlook.com, but the problem in Hotmail was that it would say something like, this mail came from Paul Thurrott on behalf of Hotmail.com or something like that. It would have that little additional text, which, you know, for me is actually not a huge deal. I don't care that people know that I'm using Hotmail.
Gmail did that for a long time.
Apparently that's a big deal for some people. So I need to look at that. I'm not sure if Outlook handles that differently, but what I can tell you that when I made the transition to Hotmail earlier this year, that was one of the questions I had, because there are different ways you can aggregate email accounts. And I asked the folks from, at the time, Windows Live, why they did this and whether they knew about this and if they were ever going to fix it. And the response was, we know about it. We know it's a problem. We are going to fix it. I don't know if they fixed it for
Hotmail. Catman in our chat room says it. He's tested it. It does not show the on behalf of header.
Doesn't. Okay.
Which would be great
so
news.
So that's fantastic. That's true. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
That would be great news.
I don't actually think that's a huge deal for most people, frankly.
No.
But whatever.
I'm not sure why it's a sticking point, but it is absolutely a sticking point for some people.
People always need a reason why they can't do something. And I think that's one of the ones they use for Hotmail, you know.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon says it's a deal breaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a deal breaker. Yeah.
It's a deal breaker.
I think we should talk about Windows Phone, Paul. Because
We
should talk about Windows Phone and moving to Outlook.com, because this is something that's come up a lot in questions this week. Because, you know, when Microsoft pops up a little warning telling you you might not want to totally kill off your Hotmail address yet if this is how you signed up for a Windows Phone, because all your account information is tied to that.
Ooh.
By the way.
Ooh, well, that's a biggie. Yeah. Now, I use a live account, so I'm okay, right? I turned my Hotmail account into a Windows Live account.
But
it is Leo Laporte at Hotmail.com.
Unfortunately, I'm in France this week. So it's a little hard for me to test some of this
stuff. Unfortunately, I'm playing Freddie Mercury from the band Queen.
Yeah, yeah. So, right, I don't have a mustache. But so, you know, I guess the simplest thing you could do is you already have a Windows Live ID of some kind. And if it is a Hotmail-type account, meaning a Hotmail.com, Live.com, MSN.com, mm-hmm. whatever, you can use this new interface without changing your email address. And if that Windows Live ID is important to you, if you use it for Windows Phone especially, but also for the Xbox and also for your Zune Marketplace stuff, I don't know. I would not switch that. I would not change it. In other words, I could have, you know, I have Hotmail, or Throt at Hotmail.com. I guess I could switch over to Throt at Outlook.com, but what happens when I do that? If you were to write me an email at Throt at Hotmail.com and I made that switch, what would happen? I don't know. And that's one of those things I need to find out. And I've got an open series of questions going back and forth to Microsoft about this stuff because it is very confusing to people. Some people kind of got excited and said, oh, neat, they have Outlook.com, and they blew away their account, and who knows what happened after that.
So don't do that.
So, yeah, we'll see. So I've heard conflicting things about the Live ID stuff on Windows Phone. So if you use Windows Phone, you know that you have a primary account that's a Windows Live ID, which is not what's now called a Microsoft account. You sign on to the phone with that first, right? It will give you email, calendar, contacts, but also all the stuff you connected to your account, whatever that might be, Facebook-type stuff, Twitter, Flickr, whatever. And it kind of populates the phone with all your stuff. You can only do that thing once.
Right.
You can't change that primary account without blowing away, I guess it's a soft reset or a hard reset. You have to reset the phone. There's no way to go in and change it.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people don't want to do that for whatever reason.
Wait a minute. I have to hard reset my phone.
Just for that.
Erase all data, go back to the factory. It's factory reset.
Yeah. Okay. But the other thing you can do is just use
mailing, right? You still own them, right?
Right.
You don't have to.
Well, do I? Because I'm so, even though they're attached to my Hotmail account, aren't they?
Everything is attached to this account. I guess what I'm saying, for me personally, what I have is I have several years of Xbox Live achievements, right, which I actually do care about.
Sure you do.
I've got stuff associated with my Zune account, which I don't really care about all that much, but it's there. I mean, you know, whatever. I have a Zune Music Pass that's associated with this account. I actually happen to use my Hotmail account as my primary email. So I've got an email going through there. My contacts are in there. It's, you know, it's kind of a big deal for me. So I wouldn't, and I didn't, and I won't, not yet, personally, change this to an Outlook.com account. Maybe someday. But I need this, again, it's hard for me here to do this because I'm on vacation, essentially, and it's just not a good situation. But I need to look into this more, and I need to ask those questions to Microsoft, see what the responses are, whatever. But they do support a system of aliases. And so if you want to use an Outlook.com address, you can. But you don't have to blow away your account. You can just attach it as an alias to your primary Hotmail account, whatever that might be.
All right.
And that's a completely safe thing to do.
Okay. So that's what you want to do probably now. Yeah?
If you're worried about it. If your Hotmail account is important to you, and by Hotmail, I don't just mean Hotmail.com. I mean, whatever those, the live.com accounts, MSN, whatever. If it has Zune information associated with you that you care to keep, or you have Xbox Live achievements like I do, if that stuff's important to you, or if you've signed into your Windows Phone with it, do not switch to an Outlook.com account. It just, I don't know exactly how awful that will be, but it's clearly awful. So
it's not good.
It's
not a good thing.
Well, I just haven't had time to test it. I just haven't had time. Right. I apologize for that. But my advice right now is to use aliases.
And this Outlook.com.
So you can.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this Outlook.com is a beta, an early.
Yeah, it isn't a preview. Yeah, right.
It's a preview.
So, by the way, yeah, features are coming. The Skype integration is still coming. The new SkyDrive version is still coming. The calendar portion needs to be updated. This is stuff that's going to happen over time. And so right now, I think the safest way to use this right now is to take your existing Windows Live ID, whatever it is, and just use the new interface. Right. And there's no reason to get an Outlook.com email address other than the fact that you may want one, you know, for whatever reason you want to reserve.
Well, I did. I wanted my name, right?
Yeah, and that's fine. There's no reason not to do that, but
alias first, you're okay.
I'm a little nervous about saying this off the top of my head, but there has been some weirdness in the past about Windows Live IDs where, like, for example, one of the things I know to be a fact is that people in Europe, for example, when the Zune first came out, wanted to access the Zune services, but they didn't offer them in their country, so they created a Windows Live ID that was associated with the United States, and then suddenly Zune became available in their country, and they said, neat, well, I'll switch my account over to the UK or to the Netherlands or whatever, and it's like, no, you can't do that. And it looks like with the Outlook.com accounts, you can do that stuff, that if you have a an account that's registered with a country, you can change it. If you have an account that's registered under a certain email address, you can change it. And these are kind of new capabilities. The service is still in preview, and I'm on vacation, so I haven't had a chance to test all of it. But it's clearly things are getting better. And so someone wrote you in via the chat room and said it doesn't do the on behalf of stuff. That's great news. It's also a change.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff happening. So it's kind of early days yet. It's a little hard to say definitively, you know, what all the answers are. So this is actually my tip or pick or whatever. But, you know, one of the things I'm going to be doing over the next week or so, and probably much longer than next week, is writing up tips about this service based on the responses I get from Microsoft about this stuff. And so these are the questions I have in, and there are more coming, and I hope to address this stuff over the next, you know, week or whatever.
And you said there's going to be a Metro Outlook app, right? Outlook, yeah. But that's not out yet.
The version of Outlook coming 2013. It's Metro look and feel, but it's not a true Metro style.
And that's big boy Outlook.
The big boy outlook.
Okay. Just check.
I would say the closest analog to this web app is the Mail app in Windows 8. They're very similar.
Right, but that's kind of why I'm confused, because they're deprecating the app.
Well, no, I mean, it's still there. I mean, you know, the Mail app has some advantages over Outlook.com in the sense that you can aggregate accounts without actually connecting them together. In other words, you can configure it for multiple email accounts. You could use Hotmail, Gmail, Yahoo, Exchange all together without commingling them in any way, right? It's like a front end for all of them. And so that's kind of an advantage. It has some disadvantages. It doesn't do drag and drop, at least not yet. And Outlook.com does, you know. And so they're different things. I mean, Outlook.com is a web app, and the Mail app is a Metro-style app. But they're similar look and feel.
Hey, I just want to say, you mentioned Tweetro, I think, a while ago. This is a sweet Twitter client. Really like this Metro Twitter client. You mentioned this, right? Yeah.
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Oh. No. That's Leo's pick of the week.
Leo, you don't get a pick of the week.
It's my Metro app of the week, Paul. That and Big Boy Outlook.
I think we should also mention IMAP here, because this has come up.
Does it support IMAP? Because Hotmail never did, right?
No, it does not support IMAP right now. And they also did a Reddit Ask Me Anything this week. The Outlook team did.
Oh,
and
neat.
That's
right. That was a great IMA.
That was.
I loved that.
They said during that they had heard the feedback and they were thinking about what to do in the future about IMAP. So they left the door open. And, you know, on the Windows 8, Building Windows 8 blog, when they talked about about the Mail app for Windows 8, they did say they're going to do IMAP at some point. So I don't think it's out of the question that IMAP will be there. But right now their answer is anything you need to do, you should do it through Exchange ActiveSync, and we'll see. Because I've seen a lot of people just saying, you know, as a checkbox thing, do they have IMAP? No? Okay, I'm not going to Outlook.com.
But they never had IMAP.
They never did.
They never had IMAP. Okay.
I know. By the way, IMAP falls into that category I was saying earlier. The reason I'm looking for a reason not to use this. Oh, it doesn't have IMAP. Yeah,
there's one. I understand that. I use IMAP and I want IMAP, but I've never used Hotmail because they didn't have IMAP.
So you're one of those people.
Well, but I mean, I'm saying if you were using Hotmail,
they
can't very well say, well, Outlook doesn't have IMAP. That's it.
No. Actually, Leo,
I think this was more Gmail people who are looking for a reason.
That's a legitimate reason. IMAP is the way to use email. POP is very old school. It's not even POP.
Yeah,
is
it's just the way to use email.
It's web.
I think the push stuff in Exchange ActiveSync makes more sense than IMAP. But IMAP is certainly close. It's a lot better than, you know, the POP stuff or whatever. But the RTM version of the Mail app in Windows 8 does support IMAP, by the way. That wasn't the case in the release preview. I don't know anything about them supporting IMAP in the Outlook.com. We'd never really discussed that. But I think...
And we should say Big Boy Outlook, of course, supports IMAP.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
There was no question.
Yeah, kitchen
Big
sink
boy
is what that thing is. I'm curious. My understanding was that the Mail app in OS X was an IMAP client, but you cannot access Hotmail or Outlook.com via I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Exchange ActiveSync client. You cannot access Hotmail or Outlook.com through the mail app using EAS, Exchange ActiveSync. That to me is like kind of the final frontier for Microsoft, because the Exchange ActiveSync stuff works basically everywhere else, right? It works on the iOS devices. It works on Android. In fact, there's a Hotmail app on Android. It works on obviously Windows RT in the mail app. It works in Outlook. Outlook 2013 supports EAS natively, but not in the mail app in OS X, including OS X Mountain Lion. So I think the one sticking point for this client, or for this service rather, where that's the one audience that really can't access this in an elegant way. And I think that's maybe the only legitimate reason you'd need IMAP and Outlook.com that I can think of.
Right. Shall we move
on? But do you
on?
Know? Do you know, does OS X Mail, I thought OS X Mail was an IMAP, I'm sorry, was an EAS client.
I think it is. I don't use it that way, so I'm not sure.
But I know that it does not work with Hotmail and Outlook.com.
I think that's the case. Hotmail always, I don't know. Didn't it always require some sort of weird plug-in? I don't know. Let me see if I can.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It's the one thing that does not work.
Yeah. Let me save that and go here and try this. I want to use an exchange.
Yeah. No, I've already done.
Doesn't work.
Okay. And you can put in the manual. There's a manual approach you can do in Mountain Lion where you can specify the server name and all that stuff.
Still doesn't work.
It's m.hotmail.com. It does not work. Just doesn't work.
Okay.
And I don't. Yeah. I don't know why.
Okay. MacMail is EAS, says Enjoy February in our chat room.
All right, but here's
but
the thing.
Not so Hotmail. Makes
EAS, but not Hotmail. So Microsoft makes EAS. They make Hotmail. OS X is EAS, right?
But Hotmail is not.
Why does it not work? I don't know.
Well, maybe it's not pure EAS.
I have to think that the Microsoft one would...
You'd think it would be Exchange. Yeah. Is it Exchange Active Sync? Is that what EAS stands for?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, a bunch of people on Twitter, by the way, are saying they have changed their accounts to Outlook.com. They've reinstalled their apps on their phone. They've reinstalled text, game achievements and all, and they're happy. But you should just know
just a lot of work.
You should expect that.
Yeah, just
yes.
Be ready for a lot of work. Okay, shall we move along, ladies and germs? We've got new keyboards and mice. We had heard some rumors. They are official.
Yes. Those weird wedge mice that we
that
saw
was real.
Images of. They
Those were
real.
Yep.
But you know what's funny? When we saw the pictures of them, they're actually upside down in the picture.
So that's confusing.
Right. So it's not that your wrist is low and your fingers are high. You use it the opposite way. So that your wrist is like hanging down over the edge of the wedge. If I can explain that any more unclearly, I don't know.
Well, it's all about the edge of the wedge.
Yeah, it is about the edge of the wedge. So
it is.
I'm obviously it's exciting anytime Microsoft does this, and obviously they support the gestures, and you know the keyboards have the Windows 8 keys, and you know that's all very exciting. But you know, there's a weird movement at Microsoft with their hardware where the keyboards and mice are not ergonomically sound, and I'm really nervous about this stuff. You know, the new version of that, not the wedge keyboard, but the other keyboard is basically the keyboard I have here. It's like a Bluetooth keyboard, and it's called the Microsoft Bluetooth Mobile Keyboard 6000. This thing is horrible. It's like one of the worst keyboards ever made, which is why I travel with it. But it's just a terrible keyboard, and you know the Microsoft like the Explorer Touch mouse and the touch thing they have and the Arc mice and all that stuff, they're just like these ergonomic disasters, you know. And I'm just nervous that these things follow in the path of that. Like the mouse you're looking at right there,
the Sculpt Touch mouse.
That's the new version of the Explorer Touch mouse. That's all that is. It's just a 2.0 version of an existing mouse.
Yeah.
The wedge stuff is brand new. And, you know, like that thing, it's cool looking.
It's a Bluetooth wireless mobile
keyboard. I'm nervous about this stuff. I don't feel like they've ever done a good job with this. You know, there's no wrist rest on this thing.
This is the one that's just...
Bizarre.
Yeah. This is the Microsoft Wedge Touch
form
mouse.
Of a function, yeah.
Stylish, compact frame that's great for your... So, again, tell me where my wrist hangs over. What?
On the back.
Like you would be... Yeah, it's not the way you're facing this picture. It's the other way.
The point... Or the mouse is pointing towards the low end of the wedge. So it's like...
Yes.
So it's like, let's say you have a Christmas ham.
Okay. The stuffing would go in the back.
All right, so you're saying my hand is raised, the top, the high part of the wedge is under my wrist, and then I'm clicking in a downward motion. Is that ergonomic in some interesting way that I've never heard of?
I don't think so, but it is cool looking.
It's also not a multi-touch mouse. That is not.
Oh, this is not their special super-duper gesture mouse.
No.
Oh.
No.
I agree with Paul, though, on the other mice. Like, the Arc mouse looks so cool, how you can snap it down and everything. But then
What's
the angle of the dangle? That's my question. Is it... I guess we can't tell till we touch it.
I actually travel with a very big mouse. It's the Microsoft Explorer.
I love that mouse. That's actually a great mouse.
Yeah, and the reason... Explorer mouse. It's like the BlueTrack Explorer mouse.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it is because... It's huge, right? And I think that that's the key for ergonomics with a mouse. And the reason I think that is because years ago, before I used an ergonomic keyboard and a large mouse, I used different pointing devices. And, you know, you get that kind of soreness in the back of your wrist, you know?
Yeah.
And the combination of this mouse and a truly ergonomic keyboard have kind of solved those problems. And if I spend too much time on a laptop, like I'm going to on this trip, or I spend too much time using, like, a trackpad, which I could do on this trip, but I bring the mouse... You know, I feel that you can feel it coming back, you know. And these mice, I mean, they're kind of cool looking. They've made some really nice looking mice over the last couple of years, like those Arc mice, the Touch mouse and all that. They're cool looking. But I really don't think they're correct ergonomically. And I'm worried about that kind of Apple style form over function thing.
By the way, I got a very interesting message when I went to this Microsoft site showing the news center showing these in the Metro version of Explorer. I got a message saying, this site requires plugins that are only available for the desktop version of Internet Explorer. Please switch to desktop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So is that going to be, we're going to see that?
Oh, yes.
Enjoy.
And by the way, those plugins are probably Silverlight.
Yep.
It's Silverlight.
And who makes Silverlight, remind me?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Why isn't that built into the Metro version of IE? Because they hate
you. Silverlight is.
I have to say, I was on the Metro version of it, and it all seemed to work just fine. But I don't.
Yep. Technology non grata.
Technology.
It wasn't.
I think regular users go, well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm confused. It's the same computer. It's the same hard drive. The code is on the hard drive. It works in the Internet Explorer on the desktop, which looks identical in every respect to the Metro version of Internet Explorer. A, why do you have two versions of Explorer on the same operating system? And B, if you do, why do you require me to use one over the other?
These are valid questions.
They all are great questions.
These are excellent.
I don't
want to
be
seen
as a negative Nelly here. I'm just asking.
You're not the only one who's asked those questions.
Maybe that'll change. I'm using a beta version. This is not the.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, not. Maybe not.
Maybe in Windows 9.
Windows I have to 9, say, the more I just to redeem myself, the more I'm using Windows 8, the more I'm liking it, even on the desktop.
Yeah.
It is kind of growing on me.
I realize this is not popular in the blogosphere these days, but I really like Windows 8.
Yeah, it's actually growing on me.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe, almost horrifying.
Whoa.
Well,
it's like it's like a fierce reduction in reflection and transparency. You know, I kind of enjoy that.
I shouldn't be liking this.
Yeah,
I neglected to mention that there is SkyDrive integration into Outlook.com.
Yes,
and they're going to reimagine cloud storage.
So I was a little confused on this. When I talked to these guys, I got access to the new SkyDrive. The way they described it to me was that. They would have held off on this a little longer, but they needed to put it in there because there were integration bits and so forth. apparently people who are signing up for Outlook.com today are getting the old version of SkyDrive, not the new version. So I asked them about that, and they said that next couple of weeks you would get the new version. Hmm. So what you're looking at there is the...
Is this the old version?
Well, I think you were looking at the Windows 8 app.
Yeah, I was looking at the Metro SkyDrive.
So on the web... it looks like the old website, but soon it's going to look like the Windows 8 app.
Okay, so I have that. This is the new version, but it's on because I'm using Windows 8 Metro.
It'll look like
this. Look like this.
No, cool. Well, no. On the web, you have is like the, what you're looking at is the Windows 8 app. It will look like this on the web. Yeah.
Right. You know, I was talking. It's funny. I was talking to Jeffrey Zeldman, who is the Blue Beanie guy, the web standards guy, yesterday on Triangulation. And
I know exactly who Jeffrey Zeldman is.
Oh, he's wonderful, and he's a designer. He's an artist. He really has a great eye.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how Apple's moving more towards these leather stitched skeuomorphic designs.
Ugh,
and how Microsoft is kind of, I think, saying the new standard is going to be clean, no drop shadows, no rounded corners, just crisp, simple, direct.
By the way, it is the type of stuff that you could create with CSS.
Totally. Well, you could do rounded corners with CSS now, too, but which is what he said.
Sure, but it's icon graphic. You know, it's not, it's digital. It is kind of true to itself in that sense.
It is true to digital, and that's the complaint about skeuomorphic design. It's like saying, well, you probably don't like digital technology, so we're going to make it look like stitched leather and
I would take it down a notch intellectually and just say the majority of the people who are using, say, iCal on Mac OS X have never seen a paper calendar, ever.
Right. So why make it look like that?
Making it look like that is meaningless to them.
And
it
what
would
he
be like
liked,
designing a podcast app that looks like a Victrola.
And what he
you know,
liked,
it doesn't make any sense.
And I really like is the fact that these tiles no longer are. You know, he said on the iPhone the tiles say this is what the app is. It's the app icon on Windows Phone and also on Windows 8. These tiles have content. Admittedly, it's not all the content, but the content tells you what you're going to be looking at. You know, these are my friends. These are my pictures.
Well, by the way, It's even a step beyond that, I would say. In some cases, it tells you all you need to know and you don't have to go to the app.
Yeah, in the case of weather, it's 61 degrees. I know. It's, you know, sunny.
There's no reason to open the weather app.
Yeah.
Or my next appointment is, oh, yeah, it's that thing.
Yeah, I like this.
There's no need to load. Exactly.
Right. I really like this.
I do, too.
And I do think that this is more modern.
This has always been the strength of Windows Phone. Yes. Yes.
And I guess that's the point, is it's more modern.
Yeah, it's literally the point.
Yeah. And God, I hate to admit it's growing on me.
We'll get you yet.
Curse you, Paul Rod and Mary Jo Foley.
You'll be surfaced today, like iPads today.
Maybe.
Like a Peter Cushing vampire movie.
Maybe. I will, you know, I'm absolutely, of course, going to buy a Surface, both the Windows RT version, and when the Pro version comes out 3 months later, I'll get that too. And I'm very intrigued.
Sure. Yep.
Very intrigued.
Good. Good to hear, Neil.
Now
we've got you right where we want you.
Well, I was one of those people who really thought that this was going to be a disaster. Could well be a disaster for Microsoft.
I think I used that word, actually.
Yeah, and it's still unclear. And maybe in business it will be. I don't know. It's still unclear. But I have to say, as somebody who's just kind of started using it, it's grown a lot on me, much more than I thought it would.
I keep hedging my bets on this one, but I think the way I look at this is, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past, was this notion of what makes it successful and all that kind of stuff. And I sort of think, just looking at PCs, just computers, like actual traditional computers, there's no way that this is going to be as big of a deal as Windows 7. But I think the thing that puts it over the top is these devices,
Right.
And that when you look at it that way, it's not... It's weird because it's not a one-to-one comparison, but because you've expanded Windows out to this broad new market, right, where it's suddenly not hundreds of millions, or I should say, it's not 350 million devices a year. It's like 500, 600, more, maybe. The potential there is much greater. And so overall, it's actually possible that this thing will be more successful than Windows 7, and that's kind of a... It's an out there thing to say. There's so much controversy around Windows 7. But I think the addition of all these device types is what is going to put it over the top.
The trick, if I'm going to use myself as an example, the trick will be get people to try it and use it for a bit of time. Because it is very different. People resist change. Sure. I notice in myself, and Paul, you observed this a few weeks ago, that after using it for, let's say, a few weeks, it actually grows on you. And I think that this will be the general experience, but how do you get people to try it?
Well, and there's the kind of side effect thing where, you know, maybe you've sort of thought, well, I could use an iPad or perhaps an Android device for like 90% of what I do, you know. But now you can get this Windows RT tablet and on the same device, switch over occasionally to the desktop, to Word or Excel. Previously would have required switching to a different device if you had been using one of the alternative devices.
Right.
That may be a big deal for a lot of people.
That could be a selling point. I know, you know, I look at Lisa, who is basically our financial person. She uses Excel all the time. I watch her in frustration using Excel on the Mac because the keys are different. If she had something that would allow her a tablet, she loves the iPad. If she had something that would give her the features of a tablet, but give her access to Excel in a way that she could really use it, that might very well be a compelling selling point for her. And I think there's a lot. That's the business. That's the business use case. So that'll be very interesting to see.
Right.
Yeah.
Mary Jo's still in the disaster camp.
Because of all the business users.
She's like, or.
Or disaster. Titanic.
No, and you know, I did say disaster. In fact, I said it when I was on the Verge show.
How did that go?
It went great.
What fun. We can watch it now. Mary Jo and Joshua.
But, you know, I made it clear there, and I've repeated it since, that I thought Windows 8 would be a disaster until I saw the Surface. I think you need to see hardware that's made for this operating system.
Yes.
Right?
And I have said that. I have argued that people should not buy a Windows 7 machine now and with the $15 upgrade because that's not what you want. You want a Windows 8.
No, and you're not going to have a great experience.
Yeah, you want a Windows 8 purpose-built machine. I'm convinced of that. At least the keyboard. So you got charms. I want a charms key.
Lucky charms.
Let's quickly, we're running out of time. Microsoft's 10K filing to the SEC, the Strategic Air Command. Do we learn anything? I think your point, Paul, is that this is stuff we already knew.
Well,
yes.
I just, you know, it's kind of a closet thing. Like these people are like, you can always tell when someone's new to blogging. It's like, I have completely figured out the secret behind blogging. It's like companies every year release this 10K SEC filing, and that's where the real information
Nobody reads that, but I have done the research.
And the theory is that public companies like Microsoft don't ever tell the truth in real life, and that when they have to file this 10K SEC filing, that's where they tell the truth.
Right.
And actually, I just want to be the first to inform those people. That's not how this works. Those things, they have to put in these caveats legally because that's required. That doesn't mean that this represents Microsoft's true feeling. It means that Microsoft is meeting the requirements of the filing. In other words, Microsoft, if you were to go to the Windows division and say, hey, you know, do you think you're going to have any, the Surface is going to cause any hard feelings? You'd probably hear, no, not really. No, I don't. But faced with a 10K SEC filing, the people responsible for that would say, well, unfortunately, it's our legal responsibility to say that this is a possibility. It may be remote, but we have to mention it. That's how these filings work. If you were to say to Microsoft, who are your primary competitors? They would probably say Apple and Google in their SEC filing. Surprise, surprise, they say Apple and Google. I mean,
really?
There's really not a lot going on. In other words, like, a lot of this stuff is like so no-brainer, it's almost stupid.
Right.
But again, it's like an intelligence test. It's like you can tell who's not paying attention by how excited they get by the SEC filing. So whatever. 75% of Windows division revenues come from Windows bundled and new PCs. A shocker. You know, like really, that's an amazing fact. 75% of server revenues come from volume licensing, not from people buying server in a retail store. Shocking. You know, like none of this stuff is actually shocking, you know, that Microsoft would be, you know, like forced to admit that, you know, the Surface PC is going to compete with products from their PC maker partners. Like, duh.
Yeah, but they never said that before. So having them say that gives, you know, I mean,
but it's just,
but
see,
we
it's
knew
just
it.
A fa- it. It's a fact. It's not a it's not an opinion. It's just a fact.
Right.
It will compete with those products. Of course it will.
Of course it will.
Microsoft is.
Yeah.
is entering a market in which they will now compete with their partners. Duh. You know, this isn't like Microsoft admitting it. This is just like a legal requirement of this SEC filing.
It's you know what it's like? It's like when you buy a house. I don't know how it is in Massachusetts and New York, but when you buy a house in California, there's a disclosure form that comes along with a house.
Yeah.
In which you're supposed to say all the things like, well, there was a murder here in 1983.
Yes.
Yes. The neighbors,
that was my house, actually.
Yeah, the neighbors next door play music really loud. And you're supposed to say all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what this 10K is, basically. It's a disclosure.
You have to figure out the worst case scenario and report it.
Yeah.
Even if this is not what they believe it's going to happen. You know, they have to. Is it surprising that devices from Apple and Google are a challenge for Microsoft?
Right.
Is this a headline of some kind? I mean, this is all of this stuff to me is extremely obvious.
But they are required as a public company to do it. And I think the reason it's the law is because the presumption is, well, some investors, for some reason, may not know this. So they should know all of the pros and cons.
By the way, if they don't report this stuff, right? And the proliferation of Google and Apple devices somehow cuts into the market share of Windows, shareholders could sue them.
Right.
Right? But now by saying it,
right,
they've protected themselves.
They're off
That's
the
all
hook.
This is.
They're
this
off
is,
the hook.
There is really not a lot of news in this thing. And I hate to take such a cynical approach to it, but it's like this is not something new. These filings, they were not invented 2 years ago.
Right.
This is something they make every year.
Right.
I mean, this is... You know, and every year this like these big stories like I've figured out the Rubicon.
Right.
Here's how it works. You know, listen to me. It's all in the 10K SEC filing. This is brand new information. You'll never find anywhere else. You know, it's like it's not really like that.
I've so given up on bloggers. I mean, I love blogs and you guys are bloggers and good bloggers are really pushing the envelope of great journalism. They're doing good stuff. But there's so many people who are link baiting, who are lazy. I mean, anybody can have a blog. So there's, you know, but that's the way it is in the new world of media is anybody can have a show. Anybody can have a blog. Oh, gosh, I have to decide who's good or bad. Oh, yes, you do.
Microsoft, Leo, would you describe Microsoft's move to cloud-based service?
I think it's a revelation.
It's riskier.
It's a revelation. It's risky as hell.
You know, like, I mean,
I don't know. Right.
Now,
there was a leak of the Windows 8 SDK. I'm sure, Paul, we were looking with great interest at this. Anything that we know? Actually, it's Mary Jo's story.
Yeah. The phone SDK.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see. So the SDK leaked a week ago or so, and it's been interesting to see people really combing through all the files and the release notes and everything. And the one thing that kept coming back, and I kept getting questions on, and people were kind of going back and forth about on Twitter was, so does the SDK tell you XNA is supported or not supported with Windows Phone 8? So XNA is the framework that gamers use to develop casual and other kinds of games.
Originally for Xbox.
Right. In the past for Xbox, for Windows, for Windows Phone. And, you know, Microsoft had basically been indicating that XNA would be supported on Windows Phone 8. And people who had looked closely at the SDK said, I'm not so sure that's actually true. Microsoft still is not commenting on this because they don't want to comment on leaked code. They're saying, you'll know whenever we get the SDK out there, whenever that will be. It's still not out yet. Yeah.
I could probably answer this one.
So I'll tell you what people have told me. So there seems to be like a quirks mode for Windows Phone. So if you write a Windows Phone app targeting Windows Phone 7 with XNA, it'll run on Windows Phone 8. The only thing is, if you want to target any of the specific new features that are in Windows Phone 8, you can't do it with XNA, is what people are saying. And Microsoft won't comment on that.
No, that's right. That's correct. You gotta remember that every single Xbox Live game written on Windows Phone today is XNA. Every single one of them. There's no way that they're going to allow those games not to run in Windows Phone 8. So, obviously, XNA is supported in Windows Phone 8. The question is whether, using the Windows Phone 8 SDK, you can create new XNA titles.
Right.
The way forward for games on Windows Phone 8 is DirectX. It's native code. It's code that will work by and large with on Windows 8 as well, which is a big deal. It's code that is easily transported to and from iOS and Android with Windows Phone. So that's the future. But XNA is not a first-class citizen moving forward. It's like a legacy set of APIs. It's the past, I think would be the way to say it.
Cool.
Yep.
All right.
But yeah, if you're wondering where is the SDK, we don't know. The rumor was
it's in China.
Yeah, it's in China.
Actually, what I'm wondering is where can I get a copy of the RTM?
Yeah, well, it's that's some time away. So the
it's got to be on the BitTorrents, right?
No. It's not. This is still beta. So sometime in the weeks ahead, we're gonna and days ahead, tomorrow. I don't. Who knows? You know, they'll release this thing or something close to it for the public to see and use. And
they will RTM really.
No. The beta version of the SDK.
Oh, the SDK. I'm talking about the RTM of Windows 8. That's another matter entirely.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, that's going to happen, by the way, within seconds. Within days. It's on the way. It is on the way.
But back to Windows Phone 8.
Yes.
We were trying to. So the SDK is still not out. No word from Microsoft when it's coming out. Was supposed to be July. Not out yet. But the operating system, the Windows Phone 8 operating system, is rumored to be RTMing in September. So, you know, developers are getting a little agitated because they're like, hey, I want to write some Windows Phone 8 custom apps. Sure. But I can't because the SDK isn't out.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a little freaked by how quick this thing is coming to market. I mean,
so
without any beta SDK, you know, it's weird how soon this is happening. I think there's a case to be made that when you look at the schedule for Windows 8, obviously, heavy development over the past year, multiple releases of the SDK, a chance to provide feedback to Microsoft. Fine. Windows 8? It's like, what are you kidding me? What, do we get 30 days? I mean, do you really think that anyone is going to be able to provide any meaningful feedback that will impact the SDK with less than a month between the release of the beta and the final version of the SDK? I mean, they clearly have a very strong idea of what they're doing for this release, and we're not part of it, but...
we'll see how that goes.
I mean, I think there's also great.
You know, I saw some people say this on Twitter yesterday that, you know, people were complaining about this again. And somebody from Microsoft said, you know, we are testing this in-house. So they're testing it among their different divisions, like Skype is testing it and all. But, you know, third parties outside.
No problems are ever shown up when you introduce it to a bigger group. So this won't be a problem.
Right. Exactly.
But Windows 8 is on this kind of weird, well, they're on a yearly schedule, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you move from 7.5 to 8, this is a completely different operating system. I mean, there are a lot of questions here about what the features are and, you know, what the SDK makeup's going to be and all that. So we'll see what that looks like. But it's, man, this thing is barreling toward completion. And no one has seen it really on the record yet, at least not any big groups of people, you know, publicly, certainly. So, I don't know. We'll see. But it's going to happen quick.
Email from Bob, who says, you are biased, Leo. All you use is Apple gear. Where's the proof you use Windows? Right here, my friend. Right here when I'm saying hello to the Windows 8 interface. And we're going to take a look a little bit right now, take a break, talk about Audible.com, then our tips and software of the week. If I weren't using Windows, could I do that? I don't think so. Let's talk about Audible.com. Audible is, of course, the great bookstore where there are hundreds of thousands of titles. Everything from fiction, history, thrillers. I'm doing the first books, F-U-R-S-T, that you recommended, Paul. I'm starting with Night Soldiers. I'm going to read them all, one after another. But you say there's a really good book.
Yep.
Oh, Anne Hathaway reading The Wizard of Oz. Wow. I love her. I just saw the Batman movie last night. She's my new girlfriend.
Yeah. By the way, don't get me started on that. Yeah, that I understand, but that movie was a train wreck. But that's the difference.
We'll get your review later. I'm interested to hear what you think about it. I'm glad I saw the movie though before that, because I don't want any spoilers.
Yeah.
But Anne Hathaway, I don't care about the Catwoman suit. I'm just saying
she's a nice
kid.
I got you. I'm with you on that one. So
Audible.com, you got a good pick for us, Paul.
Anyone listening to this podcast has probably heard of Daniel Suarez, right?
Oh, yeah. We're interviewing him Wednesday on Triangulation, by the way.
excellent.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet this guy. You know, his first two books were among the best books I've ever read in my life.
Absolutely.
Right? And they followed
Demon and Freedom.
Freedom. Yep. So Freedom TM was a sequel to Demon, and Demon was so amazing. I remember when the second book came out, I thought to myself, there's no way this is ever going to live up to the first one.
And it
just
did.
Took it and blew it out of the water. It was like a times 100 kind of sequel. It was amazing. So his third book is just out. It came out in print and kind of Kindle form a couple weeks ago, and now this week it's out on Audible.
You know, it's so funny, Paul, because I've had that book. He sent me an early release, and I didn't want to read it for the same reason. I thought, this can't possibly live up to Demon and Freedom.
Right.
Tell me it's a good book.
I'm not. Yeah, it is a good book. I'm not done with it. This book has kind of ruined my schedule. I had plans for what I was going to be reading on this trip, and this book came out, and it's too good to put down.
Oh, so I'm so excited.
Only about a third of the way into it. It's a completely different story. It's the premise, the setup, and I don't think I'm killing anything to say this, is that basically, you know, the United States is doing these drone warfare things in the Far East or in the Middle East. And somebody takes over, you know, if you've read Daniel Suarez, you understand it's basically a kind of a Michael Crichton style, you know, technology takes over thing. That's what happens. And so one of the drones takes out some religious mosque while the people controlling the other drones are looking on. And of course, everyone blames the United States and hilarity ensues. And you can kind of see where it goes from there.
But I'm so excited.
It's just fantastic stuff. And I don't know what to call this kind of a book. And I would put his other books in the same category. Like, what do you call this? It's like believable computer science fiction. You know, in other words, anyone who knows too much about any topic, read a book or see a movie, and if it's about the topic they know too much about, it ruins it for them because they can see all the places where they got it wrong. These books get everything right.
That's why I love his stuff. This guy, I mean, Daniel was a programmer. Yeah. He knows tech.
It's plausible.
Yeah.
And that's what's scary about it. And so, you know, Demon and Freedom were both this situation where you're reading this, you're thinking, this is far out and it's crazy. But
right.
You know what?
Like,
this
could happen.
This was well thought out. I mean, and this is the same thing, but applied to this.
And the same guy, Jeff Gerner, reads it. He did such a good job with Demon and Freedom. Yeah. I'm glad to hear him come back. And I've been told, by the way, that the Audible version is the way to read it. It's apparently a very good read, or listen, I should say. So here, this could be free for you. If you're not yet an Audible member, go to audible.com/windows. Sign up. You'll be signed up for the Gold account. That's a book a month, but your first month is free. Your first credit's free. You can use that credit for this book. Cancel it any time. The book will be yours to keep forever. That's one of the things I like about Audible. If you have a Windows phone or an iOS or Android device, the Audible apps have your entire library that you have everything you've ever listened to, and you can listen again. And with books, that's not unusual that you want to reread a book, re-listen. Listening to Audible is great whether you got a long commute or you work out. I listen, you know, anytime I can't hold a book, even at home when I'm cleaning, I love to listen. Audible.com/windows. Try it today. You will love it. Paul Theroux, Mary Jo Foley, let's get to our tips of the week. Starting with you, Paul.
Yeah, the pick and the tip are commingled and we're kind of.
It's not a pick, it's a tip.
It's both a pick and a tip. So the pick is Outlook.com. I think this is actually a major change. And I think it's a big deal mostly for people who weren't using Hotmail, which is probably a lot of people. A lot of the stuff that's awesome about Outlook.com was already in Hotmail. You just don't know about it. And now it looks pretty. And now it is not called Hotmail. And I think that's going to pull a lot of people over. So if you're using Windows, this is something you need to check out. And by the way, even if you're using Outlook.com, or, I'm sorry, you know, Gmail or some other service, you know, you need a Microsoft account, period. And switching over to an Outlook.com for that kind of stuff wouldn't be a bad idea.
Did you say idea?
I did. I'm sorry. I try so hard not to. Yeah.
Busted.
All right.
No, just teasing. No, I liked it. It was good. It's good.
So I really just think that this thing is great. And I've been using, you know, like I said, Hotmail for months and months as my primary email account. And moving to this thing has just been fantastic. I love it. I really, really love it.
So it's both a tip. And by the way, the tip is to do it right, especially if you're a Windows phone user.
So there are many, many questions around how you migrate or switch over, you know, port your stuff over, with, you know, connecting accounts, using aliases, all that kind of stuff. And so over the next, it's probably going to be more than a week. It's going to be at least 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever. I'm going to have an Outlook.com tip every day. A lot of it's going to be based on feedback I get from Microsoft, based on the questions I've gotten, based on some of the issues we raised earlier that I just really don't know the answers to quite yet, or I'm not confident in them. I want to make sure I've got it right. And I'm going to be posting about that stuff. So the first couple of tips are kind of basic. You're switching from Gmail kind of stuff. How do I do, I like this about Gmail. How do I do that on Hotmail? I'm sorry, on Outlook.com. You know, here's how, that kind of stuff. But as we move through this next you know, week or two, I'm going to be switching over to some of the more hardcore topics around, you know, migrating. I have a Hotmail.com. I want to migrate. What are the pros and cons? How do I do it? How do I do it right? That kind of stuff. And so I'm going to hit all those topics. And so just kind of stay tuned to that stuff.
Excellent. Mary Jo, you have an enterprise pick of the week?
I do. So we, you know, whenever we talk about Office 365, we always talk about Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and Link Online. But little did we know, well, we actually did know, but Microsoft didn't confirm it till now. But little did we know, Project Online is a new member of that family. So if you know Microsoft Project, mm-hmm. which is their project management product, they're taking it and bringing it to the cloud, which is pretty crazy. And they're integrating it with SharePoint Online and Link Online. So you'll be able to use these products across the entire suite together. You'll be able to just get Project Online by itself, I believe.
Will there be a desktop version? Will there be still a download,
you know, will.
Installable
yep.
version? Okay. But I think it makes sense because this is where all CRM is moving. I mean, this is in response to Salesforce and everybody else. This is, you got to do it online, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've got CRM online. That's already part of the suite for Office 365.
Right.
It's an additional thing you can pull in. But Project Online, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, they're never going to bring Project to the cloud. Why would they? But
right.
it makes sense.
It totally does. Projects are often managed with virtual teams. Indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of people who have been asking for that will be happy to see. The beta bits are out now, the customer preview. It's part of Office Wave 15, and it will be coming out when the rest of that suite does, which supposedly could RTM this year.
Now, instead of a enterprise code name of the week, we've got a rumor of the week, which is a very interesting rumor.
It is a very interesting rumor, and it's that Microsoft is starting to move towards asking people not to use the word Metro anymore.
What?
Yeah, this is really weird, right? Because they have been the ones out there really beating the Metro ban, you know, talking about we have the Metro design language, the Metro design framework and all. And now in the past couple of days, I started hearing people saying, are you hearing Microsoft doesn't want us to say the word Metro anymore? And so I asked for a statement, and today they gave me a statement saying that, yes, we considered Metro Style to be a code name. I didn't know that was a code name. I thought that was actually how they were referring to Windows.
Metro is a code name.
I didn't know that. But, yeah, so they're trying to get people to use the real product names instead, they said.
But what is the real product name? It's not...
Well... some of these things, it's going to be confusing. Like, what is the real product name for a Metro-style app? That's how we've been referring to it as a real product name. And
Windows
so, you know,
8 or Windows Phone 8-style app? I mean,
Windows 8 apps? I don't know. Or maybe Windows RT apps? Windows Runtime apps?
Windows
I don't know.
RT-style app.
Yeah. It's an interesting turn of events. It's not, you know, a couple people who tipped me to this said they thought there could be a lawsuit involved of some kind.
Oh,
they said,
somebody owns that.
Copyright? But who owns the copyright on Metro?
I can find out.
I mean, there's Metro PCS, right? But every subway in major cities call them the Metro.
You would have to own it in the same category that Metro
is, right? Yeah. And so Microsoft, when I asked them, is this about a copyright dispute? They said no comment. And that's all I
Sounds
can get
like
on that.
It is.
I don't know if it is or it isn't. They won't say. But anyways, it sounds like the emphasis for it is going to be not to call things Metro this and Metro that, but to use some other name, some of which we know now and some of which we don't. That's the rumor. The rumor part is, why are they doing this? Is it because of a legal issue or not or what? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the USPTO database, there are hundreds, I mean, literally, of registrations of the name Metro.
Yeah, I didn't even look that up, but
The key is, of course, to find one in software, or that would be sufficient, I think. Huh. I don't have time to go through every one of these. There's quite a few. They found 2,186 records with the trademark Metro. London Station Metro. You know, Metro Tech. Maybe that's one. Metro Tech. Heating equipment installation and repair. I guess not.
The ones I'm wondering
here's
about.
Here's one, Metro Mango. Ooh, that could be a problem.
Oh, really? Oh, who has that?
It's a self-serve frozen yogurt shop.
You know, the people I'm wondering about in all this, of course, because this happened before with Microsoft, they had to go back and kind of rein in the .NET overbranding that they were doing at one point. And, you know, the people who you wonder about are people who've done marketing collateral around this, or maybe books, perhaps, like where you've already used the word Metro style in your book, Paul. Have you?
There's a plumbing concern, faucets, shower heads, handheld showers and bath faucets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm joking about it, but it's not. It's actually not a laughing matter because you know people spend a lot of money to do these things, and we don't know what's going on.
There is telecommunications hardware trademark, wireless telephones, batteries, battery chargers. GNS Telecommunications Services does own the trademark for Metro in telecommunications. That might be the one. Anyway, that makes sense. Although, you know, it may also be that they just don't want people to use a code name.
It could be.
The problem is there's nothing to replace it with.
Right. And I should say, people are jumping to the conclusion it's a copyright dispute, and I cannot confirm that is a copyright dispute behind this. It's just, at this point, they're saying more for clarity, and because they're going to market now with this and all that.
Right. No more code names.
No more code names. No, don't say that. Then we won't have code name of the week.
Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft obsessively at allaboutmicrosoft.com. A must read for anybody who follows Microsoft. And she scoops them all the time. Winsupersite.com is where you'll find Paul Thurrott, the supersite for Windows. You can also find his books in the bookstore, many of them, including the latest Windows Phone Secrets and Windows 8 Secrets soon. We do Windows Weekly, the show, every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. If you cannot watch live, and it's fun to watch live. I think it's good to watch live. All the curse words are left in and so forth. The naked pictures, things like that. We just don't edit those out of the live because we can't. We will also make audio and video available as a download just as shortly after the show's done at twit.tv/www. Paul, I hope you're having a great time in France. Oh, I muted you because I didn't want to know. No, I hope you're having a great time in France, Paul.
Well, allow me to opine on the Metro thing then. Because
oh, God, I muted you the whole time. I'm so sorry. You know, when Mary Jo was talking, I just cut down on the buzz. I muted you. I apologize.
No, I interrupt her too much. I get it.
No, that wasn't it. There's just a little bit of a hum coming from all the excitement in France about their swimmer who won a gold medal.
We've heard this as well, and it's absolutely happening. I don't know why. We heard this through the publishing company. But coincidentally and luckily, we had a segment in the book we had put in very early on where we said, you know, Microsoft is afraid of naming things, but we're not. And so they refuse to call this environment Metro. We're going to call it Metro.
Wow, that's interesting.
And we're going to do that because it's a way to describe it. You know, in other words, there's a desktop environment, there's a Metro environment. Microsoft.
You need a word for that.
Yeah, you need a way to describe something because we're writing a book about it. And so there were things that Microsoft did a good job on description wise. They changed Start. You know, they didn't call Start Search Start Screen Search. You know, it used to be Start Menu Search in Windows 7. It's Start Search, and that's a good name. They don't want to call it the Charm Bar. You know, we're going to call it the Charm Bar. That's what it is. You know, that kind of thing. So, anyway, we had made a decision very early on that we were going to name things and be upfront about that. And so we kind of lucked out with Metro because they are backing away from that name for whatever reason. But our take was, look, we need to call it something, and this is what we're going to call it. So we had heard the same exact thing, that there's some internal memos going around. We can't do this anymore.
Wow, that's bizarre. And I think that the publishing company made the right decision. You got it. You need a word.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah, God forbid we call it something, you know.
Yeah. We'll always have the Paris Metro.
Exactly. There's also a Rouen Metro, by the way.
You see? You see, I don't
know.
Probably
they're probably suing Microsoft.
Suing
right
them as we speak.
No, no.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm sorry. I muted you, Paul. I forgot I did. And then, of course, your entire conference.
I thought you got so quiet. I was like, what's happening?
There is a way to shut me up.
Thank you, folks. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. I'm sure there'll be just as much to talk about. Now, Paul, you're not going to be here. You're going to be dining at the Eiffel Tower.
I will send you. You'll see pictures on Facebook.
I have always wanted to eat at that restaurant.
I've actually already done it once, but now we're doing it.
Have fun. But Mr. Pizza, I'm sorry, Dr. Pizza, I demoted him. Dr. Pizza will be guest hosting with Mary Jo Foley next week. Who is that, Mary Jo?
Peter Bright at Ars Technica, also known as Paul 2.0 in some circles.
Because he's grumpy.
Paul just 2.0. As grumpy, just as Eeyore-ish as Paul. So
just
it'll be
as
a good
British.
Show.
He's perfect.
He should fit in perfectly. Well, I look forward to meeting Dr. Pizza next week. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.